name of the Beloved, that one who could say, Jeremiah sent me, that one who took my place, took our place, who paid a debt that we could never pay, that we might have a gift that we can never lose. For each and every one that has put their trust in the Christ of Calvary, they have eternal life, something that they could never get on their own. The cost of it, they in no way could pay for it. It took very God, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He was creator of all things that He might take upon Himself, have that awful thing called sin heaped upon Him, our sin. And He said it was finished. Nothing more that we could add to it. Let our hearts go out to Him. Think of those that were mentioned earlier. We'd add our amen to that prayer. Now, Father, we just ask that Thou would open our spiritual eyes and hearts, our minds, that we might learn something from Thy precious Word, something that we might take with us throughout the week, if the Lord be not come. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. Now we'll start with verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many are astounded at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, like a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Just before we get into this, I might mention that the word he, that's the Lord Jesus, is mentioned 22 times in 15 verses. Him is mentioned 10 times, and his is mentioned 12 times. Everything is centered around the Christ of Calvary. Now, we might look at a few verses as to this, starting at the beginning Behold my servant. And this was the servant that the Lord was going to send, Jehovah, his perfect servant, the one that would take the judgment of ourselves upon himself. We find suffering before his exaltation. And I'd like to look in Psalm 22. We looked at this morning. Psalm 22. And the cry of that suffering was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or, Eli, lama sabachthani? Why hast thou forsaken me, is what it's telling us. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou who inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. As we mentioned earlier, there are two words. The Oriental is tola, and the Mexican is cachini. And both of them mean scarlet. It's a dye that cannot be removed. It's a permanent dye. This is a picture of our Lord, of course, when he washed our sins away, they're completely gone. In this case, the dye completely covers them. The dye can't be taken out. All they who see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, or Jehovah, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. We think of Lamentations 1:12. Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, with which the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. This is the picture of it. And what marvels me is when the wrath of God is the wrath of a thrice holy God, the Father and the Holy Spirit, but the Son's there too. He was there as a perfect man, but he was also there as a judge. We can't grasp anything like that. We can't grasp the fact that the Son of God died for each of us, let alone some of these very deep teachings. But thou art he who took me out of the womb and didst make me hope upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb, and thou art my God from my mother's body. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. Not a bone of him was broken. Remember, when the centurions were sent to break the legs, to hurry up or to speed up the death, they didn't just break the legs. There was a big mallet. They shattered the legs to speed up the death. But when they came to him, they found he was already dead. That was a miracle in itself. The centurion that was sitting or standing at the foot of the cross, he said, surely this was the Son of a God. He knew that this wasn't a normal man. He gave his spirit. He said, into thy hands I come in my spirit. He bowed his head and was gone. But then these two other men, sometime I'm going to have to look up their names. I have them at the house. Two Roman officers. They had been in the Middle East 6 years. It was time for them to go home on leave. And for any that's been in the military, you're not going to do something so silly as to break an order that might prevent you from going home. When they were ordered to break the legs, it didn't say whether they were dead or not dead. They were ordered to break the legs of all three. They didn't break his legs. And for those that don't know, on the cross you normally live 5 days. up to 22 days. It's the worst death that man has ever devised. And yet here was a man who was drowned in 6 hours. But in that 6 hours, he bore the wrath of those creatures that he made. In the last 3 hours was the wrath of the Holy God. The judgment that was ours. We as individuals could never pay for sin in eternity, let alone the sin of all of mankind. He tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. That means he paid the judgment for every man. How stupid can mankind be when his judgment has already been paid for, and yet they reject salvation? The greatest gift in the universe, and they turn their back on it. Now, I believe this. In many cases, they think, well, at a later date, they procrastinate. But we find in Genesis, it says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I personally believe that once you understand the way of salvation, you are on very treacherous ground. I was 9 when I was saved. And I believe to this day, if I hadn't trusted the Lord Jesus at that time, I never would. Because I understood at that time just as well as or better than I do today. It was as clear as a bell. Now, another person might be 99 years old on his deathbed before it becomes that clear. Why some earlier than others, I don't know. Only God knows. But once you understand, you could be cut down at that moment, or the Holy Spirit could lead you. So my spirit shall not always strive with me. There's three things can happen. The Holy Spirit can lead you. You could commit the unforgivable sin. Or the Lord could come and you're not saved. There's a young fellow here. I don't know who's that. He's around here somewhere. When he was 6. He wanted to be baptized. And his mother was hesitant. And then he told his mother, I know that I don't get saved by being baptized. But what if the Lord comes and I haven't been baptized? Or what if I die and I haven't been baptized? I haven't done what the Lord asked me. Now there was a 6-year-old that understood far better than some of the older ones. The baptism doesn't save you. But the Lord asked us to do it. And His wishes are our command. For those, again, I don't see anybody here that's been in the service, but if an officer asks you to do something, you know what he's doing? He's being very polite. But he's ordering you to do it. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief. We find that all of his bones were out of joint. There are some that think that that happens to all of them when the cross dropped into the socket. If that's the time it happens to the Lord, then everybody else's bones were out of joint too. I believe that only happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Plus, there's something else along with dropping into the socket. In those last 3 hours, mankind or nature was not allowed to see what was happening. And if you are suffering bad enough, the writhing will be so bad that you will pull your bones out of joint. And physically, he was a man, albeit a perfect man. The only perfect man other than Adam, and you know what took place with Adam. With the Lord, he couldn't sin. He was God. So verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. The dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, or Jehovah. O my strength, haste to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my only one from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the wild oxen or unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will praise thee. This would speak to us of the church. Now he's the conqueror. You who fear the Lord, praise him, all ye, the seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye, the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hidden his faith from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, or Jehovah, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is Jehovah's, and he is the governor of all the nations. All they that are fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation, and they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Or the word there is finished, complete. And then we find in Psalm 69, we're not going to get very far. Psalm 69. This is the psalm of the brokenhearted. Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. And they that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. And what was that? Eternal life. For those that would receive it from him. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from thee. Let not them who wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those who seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger to my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. Well, wasn't that the case? Some wonder where this is found. Here it is. His own brothers and sisters denied who he was until after his death and resurrection. For the zeal of mine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of those that who reproached me, thee, are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that is my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me. I was the song of drunkards. There again, you see that case. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God. In the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, and the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Jehovah, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine enemies are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart. And I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but found none. They gave me also gall for my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Down in verse 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please Jehovah better than an ox or a bullock that have horns and hooves. And then Daniel. Daniel 9. Verse 26. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And if we remember, prior to the Lord's going into Jerusalem, he came up looking towards the east, towards Jerusalem. And at the sunrise, they say it is one of the most beautiful scenes that you could ever see. The temple. That was Herod's temple. And the sun glowing off of it. And what did the Lord do? He wept. He knew what was going to take place. He was going to be crucified and two others with him. But there would be so many crucified, there would be no place to put more. Hundreds of thousands. I just wonder where they got all the wood. Then let us look to Acts 2. Acts, the second chapter. He seeing this before spoke of the resurrection of Christ. Well, let's go back to 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He seeing this before spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, Jehovah said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And a verse or two came to my mind. Let's turn to it in this same book, the 13th chapter. Verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, not another, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law of Moses couldn't cover everything, but the work of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all sin. All, was it 1 John 1:7? Can't remember now. I'm going to have to look at it. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. I had one here that I wanted to read. Oh, that is Psalm 45. Before we go on. Psalm 45, verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. But thou art fairer than the children of men. What's that telling us? There was never another man more handsome than he was. He was perfect in every aspect. Well, why shouldn't he be? He was sinless. He was the perfect man. He was the last Adam. When God said, let us make man in our image, he wasn't looking at Adam. He knew what Adam was going to do. He was looking down through the corridors of time to Calvary. And his son, the perfect man, was going to die for you and me. All right, back to our portion. He was the perfect servant. The question was posed, who shall go for us and who shall we send? And he could say, here am I. And the fullness, I lost that. But in the fullness of the book, in other words, this was all about him. He said, here am I, send me. Now he is perfect in every aspect. Now all of a sudden, we find him on the cross, and that's what verse 14 is speaking to us about. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. What a contrast. From the handsomest, the perfect man, to being so mutilated as not to be recognizable as a human being. That's what this means. They hit him with their fists. They ripped the beard from his face. His back was like a plowed field. Flowers made long their furrows on my back. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hit not my face from shame and spitting. Most men would have been dead or unconscious after that flogging. Yet there he stood before them. And Pilate said, behold the man. And what a payment they had. They said, his blood be on us and on our children. It's still there. All you have to do is look at Israel today. Still there. They're still paying for it. And yet God is bringing them back. Look at Europe. The anti-Zionism that's going on there now. It's forcing them out. Forcing them back to Israel. Not going there back there because they want to go. Before the Second World War, why would they go back? There were certain ones that went back. But even those in Germany, most of them had big jobs, even owned big companies. They were living easy. Why go out into the desert and try to make a living there? But God's calling them back. So he was so brutalized that they couldn't recognize him as a human being. So shall he sprinkle. And you know what the word there is, or the root of that word is? Astonish many nations. When he comes back, they will be astonished. Many were astonished even then. That which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Down here in verse 1, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now there are a great many verses there. We're not going to have time to even begin them. For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, like a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, And when we see him, there shall be no beauty that we should desire him. Now, in Luke, let's look at these. Luke 2, second chapter of Luke. Not we could get by, but I don't think we should go by this. The 40th verse. And the child grew. Growth without mentioning responsibility. And became strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. He was becoming filled with wisdom. He was favored and with spiritual blessing. So here was a young man that was growing in the favor of other men. And we find right up until the time he started preaching, he was in favor with mankind. Even the religious leaders, when he came into the synagogues, they handed him the scroll. But then there was a portion where things started changing. Let us look at Isaiah 61. First verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or Jehovah. The year indicates a long time. We've had roughly 2,000 years since the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Then it goes on to say, in the day of vengeance of our God, one day. But what a day of vengeance. When God comes and strikes the nations down. And everyone that trampled underfoot the blood of our precious Lord and Savior. And for those that are left here after the rapture, if they have heard the gospel and understand it, they're going to be left with not one but one thing, that's judgment, eternal judgment. Now there will be those that will get saved during that time. But what a time of being saved. You've got a family. You won't be able to provide food or housing or anything for them. What you have will be taken from you. And they're not about to give you anything. If anything, it's going to be torment. So just stop and think what it will be for someone to trust the Lord at that time. It was just himself is one thing. But when they're going to touch your family, that's something else. It's going to be a terrible time. So it's going to be one day. But you know, my mother one time, I asked her one time, that, you know, a lion or a tiger can fight on and on and on. And yet the lion is known as the king of the beasts. Normally the lion only fights for about 10 minutes. But by the marvel, the damage and terror that he can do in 10 minutes. The lion or the tiger can't stand a chance against him. One swat of that paw, and he can crush a bull's skull. And yet, size-wise, they're roughly the same size. But that's a picture of the Lord God in all of his power. Nothing will be able to withstand him. And we are very close to that day. Time's run out, but days is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. That teaches us a number of two things. It teaches us that time means nothing to God. He sees it as though it was already accomplished. But then it teaches us something else. If we look at it literally, from the Adam and Eve to the flood, 2,000 years, 2 days. From the flood to Christ, 2,000 years, 4 days. From Christ to us, 2,000 years. And then the Lord is going to rule here for 1,000 years. So we're right at that point. He also says that the generation that sees the budding of the fig tree, you guys are all too young. No, you'll still be there. But the generation that was alive and saw the budding of the fig tree. What was the budding of the fig tree? It was when Israel became a nation again. The only country that became a nation, a functioning nation in one day. And that was foretold. What was it, May of 1947? 48? They became a nation. And it could be those that were just born, but I believe it refers to people that were old enough to understand what was taking place. I was in that generation. I was 18 years old. And I'm getting close to the end of my life. So, if I live any length of time, undoubtedly I will be here. And the Lord comes to take us all home. Richard, Rosemary, Carolyn, and of course you young guys, the Lord sees fit to lead you. But that just shows how close we are. And all the things that we see in the Middle East has nothing to do with the church. Only one thing had to take place for the Lord to come to take the church back. Peter had to die. The Lord told Peter how he's going to die. And after Peter passed away, there wasn't anything to hinder the Lord coming to take the church back. So that should leave us, and it did for many years and many places, on the tiptoe of expectancy. The Lord's at the door. And from all indications, he's right there, right now. We may never have another meeting like this. I dare say everyone here is saved, I hope so. Some of the wee ones know, but the Lord takes care of them. How do you know that? Remember when David's first child by Bathsheba died? It was an infant. He couldn't make any decisions. We don't know what the age of accountability is for everyone. It's different on every child. But when David made this statement, they asked why. After he passed away, prior to his passing away, he was in sackcloth and ashes. Now some people will say, well, you should be, he's still living. You should be happy. He was in sackcloth and ashes. The moment the youngster passed out of this scene, David got washed up, cleaned up, put on his royal regalia, and then he started eating and they wondered why. He said, the child can't come to me, but I will go to the child. And what's the Bible tell us of David? He made an awful fall. I believe this, though. If he hadn't fallen, Israel might have enshrined him. That's what they thought of David. That fall showed he was a man just like every other man. But he's going to be with the child. Those little ones died before they reached the age of accountability. They're with the Lord. But it says that David was what? Why do I get like this? Well, for one thing, he was a shepherd. He was God's shepherd. But he was a man after the mind of God. That's not the wording that I want, but that's what is it? Yeah, he was a man after God's own heart. Because if you remember one time, happened a number of times, but one time particularly, judgment was coming on the nation of Israel. David was king. And he told the Lord, put the judgment on me, that's my fault. Now the Lord wanted to use it to judge the nation anyway, because the nation was wrong. But he didn't want that judgment to fall on the nation. He was the shepherd, even then. And all of us, men and women, boys and girls, we should be shepherds of the younger ones in Christ. Now that doesn't mean they're younger in our son age, but if they've just recently trusted the Lord as Savior, and you're older spiritually, you and I are responsible for looking after them, for guiding them. Let us speak to the Lord. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the infinite love that has been bestowed upon us. When we stop and consider it, our little minds just can't take it all in. Whether we can take it in or not, we thank thee for the infinite love that has been bestowed upon us. Our God of all judgment, all power, loved us to such a degree that he allowed his Son to die for us. But then this in itself gives us a little inkling of the love of God. That he was willing to let that Son, the darling of his bosom, that one who is daily his delight, become our substitute to take our place. Now, Father, we ask that thou would guide and direct us throughout the coming week. And certainly we should cry, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. That should be the desire of all the Lord's people. And yet while we're in this scene, give us the strength to live and walk in such a way that we would help our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that we would be used by the Lord to point others to himself. Again, we think of those that have been laid aside with illness, some very seriously. And some have been cared for many years. We think of our brother Raymond. And yet the Lord uses him even when he can't get up and out. The Lord has it such that they come to him. So the Lord has a way for all of us. For those that are able, though, we should be looking out for the other one. We think of our brother Larry and his heart attack. We thank thee for what appears to be quite a speedy recovery. We trust that all things would work for the glory of the Lord. We think of the family. We think of Mary. And not long ago, the loss of Earl. Into thy presence, thank the Lord. We think of Violet. The loss of Chuck. And again, into thy presence. Those of us that know Christ as Savior and our loved ones leave, certainly there's some sorrow. And yet we know there is a day that we will be with them in the Lord's presence. And Father, we ask that thou would be with us, take us all to our several homes of safety. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.